Here's what to expect on today's episode of the Fairy Fills Podcast. Enjoy!
Teach us your ways. Take us to your leader.
Her leader was Jesus.
No, her leader was her daddy who knew the scripture back and forth.
Okay, his leader was Jesus. You're also pretty funny.
Trauma.
Welcome back to Fairy Fills. My name is Pamela.
I'm Amanda.
And we got a fun-packed show for you today. So sit back and relax and enjoy the chaos.
So this week we are playing a game to see which person knows more about the other. We're going to ask each other questions and see who can answer the most right. So for the first one, what is my favorite season?
Definitely not winter.
Okay.
I'd say probably spring.
No.
Fall?
Close.
Only one left is summer. Because I know it ain't winter.
So, I like fall up until right at wintertime when Christmas comes, and then I cut off right at December 26th and I'm done. Because then it gets really cold here.
Okay, what about me?
Summer.
Nope.
Oh, fall.
Yep.
I love fall too.
I just like the cool crispness. All right, let's see. What is the most adventurous thing I have ever done?
Oh, there's a lot of things you've done. That's hard.
I know, I'm trying to think of one.
Probably going out to Arizona and doing all the things with your buddies from school.
I don't think that would be the most adventurous.
No?
Probably going to Europe.
Well, I mean, those were the two that were in my head. So
I mean, domestic travel here is one thing, but flying across an entire ocean without your, like, relatives or really, honestly, any friends and family that you really, truly know. I mean, I knew my history teacher and all, but that's about it.
Okay. And how about me?
Probably moving down here.
Actually, yes. That was probably top tier in a tie. There was that one. And then there was another one where I went with my friends to Alabama and had to basically scrape money together to get my way back. It was awful. So that was probably my other adventurous escapade. All right. What is the most memorable moment of my life?
No idea, honestly. Like, barring some extremely excruciating moments that you had that were probably quite memorable. Becoming my friend.
You give up?
I give up, yeah, because I have no idea.
I don't either. I don't. Probably getting Poppy or probably my last trip down to Alabama. Once again, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Those two stick really far up in my brain. Those two. For you, I would say going to Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I figured.
I don't know, though. Walking across South Mountain when we were, quote unquote, blazing our own trails, and I was on a 45-degree incline, and I slipped, and I landed on my bag that had a very flat rock that went straight up my bum.
Oh,
that was awful memorable and pretty hilarious at the same time, albeit painful.
It sounds painful.
All because I didn't want to land on a cactus.
Oh, very fun. Very fun. Okay, is it your turn?
Yeah.
Or my turn?
Have I ever participated in a competition?
Yes. And you won. It was your butter churning dealio and you drank out of it and you won.
Well, that wouldn't have been the one that I would have gone with, but yeah, that counts. A work competition where I drink out of a milk jug or a milk butter churn. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I was thinking about the multiple competitions whenever I was in high school with fine arts.
Hmm. Were they for
church?
Oh yeah, singing. That's right.
Singing.
I had to
do that darn short sermon. That was the most terrifying moment of my life.
No thanks. No thank you. You can keep that.
I don't think you have you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was also singing, but it was for high school, and it was a choir competition kind of thing, and we would go into choir, we would sing, we would joke around, do nothing, and then at the end of the 2 weeks, we would wrestle to get something together, and we would do it at the end of those 2 weeks and fail miserably, while the other kids did wonderfully. Mm-hmm. We sucked. But I've done many competitions, many of them. I've done Bible quizzing, hated it. I have done...
sword drills.
Not quite.
That's what it reminded me of.
This was the UPC's version of a sword drill, but it was for very fierce competition, and if we lost, we were not in good standing. It was really bad. Yeah, it was really, really bad. So you went up against a whole bunch of other kids who had memorized all these Bible verses, and you had a little buzzer. And then they would ask you the question, and most kids could answer the question. They could hit the button. You'd have to ask the whole question word for word from where they started. And you had to ask the whole question and then answer it. And you were in competition for those kids who were smart as a whip, who knew what the question was before you could even hit the button. So I got panicked, and my dad told me, just hit the button. Think about it, and then answer. So I did the button at, like, word two. Bad idea. Had no idea what the question was. My whole team got mad at me, and I was like, he told me to. It was not good. It's not good at all. But I won some first, second place ribbons and trophies for that.
Mm.
I was not very good at it, though. I don't know how I won those. I hated it. But I'll have to show you a video of it sometime. You would be very confused as to how these children know the question before the answer. It's very, very confusing. Very confusing. And we had a girl on the team who, her dad was the quiz master. That's what they called the head dude who, like, knew almost everything. And he would quiz her and quiz her and quiz her and quiz her. And she knew all the stuff. And she was put with us dummies who had no idea what we were doing. None. And she was like, I don't want to do it with them. They're going to make me lose. It was bad. I feel so bad for her.
I can bet. I can imagine.
Because she would get in trouble for it later. I'm sure.
That's like doing a group project and you're the only one that did work.
Well, we did the work too. We just didn't know what we were doing. Teach us your ways. Take us to your leader.
Her leader was Jesus.
No, her leader was her daddy who knew the scripture back and forth.
Okay, his leader was Jesus.
Sure. No, he's a very nice man. He's a pastor now. He's very, very nice. Skewed views, but very nice. All right, my turn.
Mm-hmm.
What is my dream job?
Marketing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about that last time. I think your dream job would be volcanologist.
Mm-hmm.
You just get paid to dig up volcanoes all day.
Well, I'm not going to dig one up. I go hang out with one.
I don't know anything about that stuff.
Yeah, I'll go hang out with one. Take its temperature. But not dig it up.
Okay, sorry. My bad. I'm not the smartest.
The magma needs to stay in the ground.
I don't know how long that's gonna Stay going, though.
Do I have a hidden talent that no one knows about?
Yes. Okay. I mean, not no one, but I know. A couple of us know.
Okay, that few know about.
You can whistle.
I can whistle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can whistle. How about me?
I mean, it's not exactly a secret you can sing.
I mean, I try.
You're also pretty funny.
Trauma.
Like a like a hidden comedian.
Trauma. All right. I like this question a lot. But thank you, by the way. I appreciate you calling me funny. I would say I try, but I don't really try. It's kind of an in-betweensie.
If you're like me, I'm funny when I'm not trying to be funny. And if I'm trying to be funny, everybody's just like crickets.
Yeah. Yeah, every time. I was thinking about something the other day, and I was like, you know, I should be a comedian. And then I thought, I'd get up there and it'd be absolute crickets because nobody would get the joke. But it would be funny to me because I thought of it myself. If y'all don't think it's funny, then back the heck off. But I was in the car and I was thinking about something and it just made me laugh. I don't know if you ever think about a scenario in your head. I think it's just ADHD people that do this. But if you ever think of a scenario in your head and how you would say something and then it makes you laugh or it makes you think on something, but I do that a lot. And that time it just so happened to be funny and I was like, I should be a comedian. And I thought, bad idea. I'm better off the cuff. Okay. What do I prefer? Coffee or tea?
I'm going to say tea, but I'm not actually 100% sure. Coffee?
Coffee all the way. I'd rather have a coffee any day of the week. Iced coffee, if it didn't have so many darn calories in it, I would drink it all day long. All day long. Only drink I'd have. If it wasn't so darn expensive, it's the only drink I would drink all day long. For you, tea.
Yes. Hands down. Earl Grey, hot.
With a little splash
with
of
honey
milk.
Honey lemon. No, I don't put milk in my tea.
What?
No. Honey and lemon.
Why? Oh, I love a good splash of milk in my tea.
I don't like the taste of the Earl Grey, and that's my favorite kind of tea. With milk, I prefer because it's kind of a spicy flavor. I like the lemon and the honey with it because it just kind of enhances the flavor a little more.
So the way that I do it is I usually use heavy whipping cream and I just pour a little bit in there. Very good.
A peach chamomile tea, I would put a little splash of milk in there. Or some cream. Ooh, vanilla cream would be really good in that.
It does sound like it would be really good. But I had the thing from Panera Bread where you could get tea or coffee all day long. For free. And I used to go through there all the time when I was Ubering and get the coffee or tea. And I'd get hot tea. And I'd put my little splash of sucralose in there. And I'd get the cream. Best drink ever. And it was the Earl Grey. It's my favorite.
Which historical figure would I have tea with?
I have two answers for this, but I don't know if they're right or not.
What are they?
So, Tolkien or one of the dudes from Lord of the Rings.
I would definitely have tea with Tolkien, but I don't know. I think like maybe President Lincoln.
See, I was thinking about that one because that's one that I would love, but I wasn't sure.
Bonnie Prince Charlie so that I could like put him in his place.
Who is that?
Bonnie Prince Charlie. He is a historical prince that I have the displeasure of being related to way back yonder in my DNA chain.
Interesting.
But he was trying to put his father back on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And kind kind of started a war between Scotland and England, and a little battle called Culloden, where most of the Highlanders that were in the battle died.
Like, interesting.
It was bad. It was very, very bad.
What's his name again?
He ran off like a little girl with his tail between his legs.
And what's his name?
His name is Charles Stuart, but Bonnie Prince Charlie is what they called him, because apparently he was supposed to be pretty. But yeah, I would absolutely have tea with him.
But I was also thinking of the
Jesus.
Guy who played
I would
Gandalf.
Also have tea with Jesus. Gandalf's not really a historical figure, though. He's like a character.
Right, but I'm saying the guy who played. Sorry, I'm saying the guy who played him.
Ah, see, I wouldn't view that as historical yet.
Still, to you, it would be. I feel like
it'd be neat. I think.
I have
but
so many in
like
my
that,
mind
I would,
for
I would,
myself.
There's like a number of people that I would sit down with and have tea with, so like modern day people. Like, but truly historical. Like Jesus, I would totally have tea with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, probably.
Those are really good ones.
Maybe George Washington.
I'm going to need the Chosen to portray Paul. For sure. Because I need to know things. I have to know.
A spinoff?
Yes, I need to know. Well, like, give us a couple episodes of him. Just give us a few. And then give us some John episodes of him at the end. Like, we just need a few. Just a few. Surely they've got a season just for those guys. So who would I have dinner with or tea with or whatever?
Well, since Harry Styles is not a historical
figure. He's a historical figure! I want tea with him. I've heard he makes great tea.
He probably does, being British. I would say maybe Lincoln.
He's a favorite. He's definitely a favorite. But,
So there's a lot of them that would be really cool
so
to
many.
Sit down. Like Winston Churchill.
Yes, that's a big one for me. I really would love to talk to that man. I would say the biggest people that I would want to sit down to tea with are probably like an ancestor of some sort. That was interesting that I didn't know their story and it was picked for me, I guess, like somebody that I didn't know. I've always thought about that. I'm like, I would rather it be picked for me because then I wouldn't know their story, but they would have a great story, like a great backstory.
See,
and
that,
I would
that
get
would be
to hear about it.
That would be fun because like I could sit down with my ancestor that came over here on a ship called the Bachelor's Delight that was a former pirate ship.
Interesting.
And when he got into the port, it was a port that Blackbeard frequented, and it resembled the Queen Anne's Revenge, and everybody had a fit because they thought it was Blackbeard, and they detained him.
Oh.
Confiscated Ooh. His money. Like, it was a whole mess. But I have questions. Primarily so that I can write a historical book, but
interesting. So it's your ancestor?
Yes, my direct answer. He's one of the ancestors that came over. He was a Bella, which was related to whoever was related to the Stuarts and the McDonalds from Scotland that we're related to.
Yeah, I don't know any of my ancestors. I would have to do a whole DNA test. Willing to, but I'm a little scared at the same time. A little bit
Girl,
scared.
Girl, I don't advise it. You be having siblings and stuff popping out of woodwork.
I probably have 432 siblings at this point. My daddy, he liked to be a farmer, so to speak. We'll just put it that way.
So did mine. He was a busy little bee.
Oh, my heavens. I want to know my lineage from the past. I don't want to know the present at all. I don't want to know who my real father is. That's a big deal to me. Like, I don't. Because I don't have much to choose from. I don't.
See, the only reason that I had any interest in learning who my biological family was that my dad's biological parents was medical related.
There is nothing that they cannot test me for scientifically that I can't find out myself that I need from those people. Nothing. Okay, so the topic for today is porn considered cheating? And in my opinion, yes it is.
Absolutely, yes.
And by the way, we did this in parts, and Amanda is very sick, and we tried to wait it out, and it got worse. So, that is why she sounds totally different from the other night.
My voice is super sexy now.
All right. The reason that I ask this question is because a lot of people don't believe that porn is a problem in a relationship and will use it against people, especially if they feel like they are being neglected in that area. Like if you, like last week, like saying, well, I'm not going to have sex with you. And then they feel like, oh, well, it's okay to just go watch porn since she won't do it for me, kind of thing. So I believe that if a man is watching porn, first of all, he's not what I want in a relationship anyway. Second of all, definitely cheating.
We also have to look into what all constitutes porn, because obviously pornography is porn, but I also kind of consider it cheating and kind of pornographic when men are just scrolling through Instagram looking at scantily clad women, or when women are scrolling through Instagram looking at scantily clad men, or what have you.
This is very true.
Because you are actively lusting after that person with your eyeball. Whether you're doing anything physically or not, you're still lusting and not actively paying attention to the person that you're supposed to be paying attention to.
Right. So, also, I halfway can agree with, even movies can be something that are a problem, like
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Which you've never seen, but it is.
I have not.
It'd probably be 2 seasons long if they took out all of the sex.
Holy cow, how many seasons long is it?
8.
Wow.
Might be 3.
Same with Bridgerton. I couldn't watch Bridgerton because it was full of a lot of sex. Like, a lot of sex. Even though that's not for a man, but it's for a woman's side. It could be considered inappropriate.
Outlander also has a lot of sex in it. Really good show.
Never seen that one either.
Good storyline, but too much sex. Like, dial it down.
I have never seen that one either.
That's a very weird show. Lady from World War II who is a nurse and her husband go to Inverness in Scotland. She goes up to see some flowers and touches a rock and gets zapped back into ancient Scotland.
Sounds kind of
fun. Falls in love with she gets married off to a Highlander to protect herself, and then she ends up falling in love with the dude.
Oh, well, sounds like a good show.
It is a really good show, and it's sex. Very, very historical, but sex. There's not as much of it toward the end of the series as there is at the beginning, because they're younger at the beginning, and then, like, the end of the series, they're, like, 20 years older.
Susan and I watched Bridgerton for the first season and had to turn it off because we were done. Completely done. There was so much. I think it could have probably outdone Game of Thrones.
No. There were scenes in Game of Thrones where they filmed it in a brothel. Like,
oh,
you're literally watching two characters have a whole conversation and there's people gyrating on top of each other in the background that look like they're actually having sex.
But then there are things like OnlyFans.
Right, where they can go and literally pay people to do things.
Mm-hmm. Or paying for feet pictures.
Gross. I actually had a dude that worked with me, and he left to go to a different company in a different state, thank God. And he would pay for this girl to have pedicures once a week so that she would send him feet pics.
No. Mm-mm. Or indulging in getting money for feet pictures.
Right. Like, he also claimed once upon a time that he actually paid for somebody's underwear off of OnlyFans.
Oh, my.
Which I also found extremely creepy.
Yeah, that's no. Mm-mm. Did he have a girlfriend? Surely not.
Oh, heavens no.
So just anything like that, I feel like is cheating personally, especially if you are actively dating to settle down with somebody. If you're just out there to have fun, then you don't need to be telling somebody, let's date, just to see if you can get them in bed.
I feel like people who are out there to find their significant other that they're going to settle down and marry probably don't indulge in that as often. It does happen, obviously, but I feel like they don't have that problem as frequently because they have other goals in mind that are more important to them. I could be completely wrong, but
I would say that is an incorrect statement only because there's a bit of addiction behind pornography. And I feel like, especially if you're not going to be engaging in that kind of thing with that person before marriage, men who aren't exactly, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Men who aren't exactly honest about being okay with not having sex before marriage tend to do stuff like that.
Well, see, I also know like a great deal of men who actually find that pornography is vile and disgusting to them. Like another one of my coworkers / drivers, he absolutely hates, loathes, and abhors pornography because he thinks it ruins families.
It does. And if you think about it, most of it is sex slavery and goes into a whole different topic completely.
Or then you have people like the girl that played Rachel on Boy Meets World who actively chose to go into that industry and became a porn star because she could make money at that and she couldn't make money in the film industry.
That is crazy. No thank you.
Like, they can't act, so they go into that industry. They get sold into that industry. I mean, there's a good number of people, I'm sure, that are literally people that were trafficked into the porn industry. But as far as pornography destroying families, it absolutely does. Like, my friend is absolutely right.
Well, yeah, because if a man is engaging in that, then it's hurting his wife. And I mean, I'm sure the children are suffering in some sort of way.
Well, you keep talking about men doing, women do it too. Like, well, yeah, it's not just singularly, men are more lustful with their eyes than women are for the most part, but women absolutely indulge in that.
That's true. You're not wrong.
But you're watching these things regardless of your gender, and you see them doing these things, and you think, oh, well, that's how it's supposed to be, and it's not.
Like, no, and it ruins that bit of your life as well, especially if you're married.
Like, you think, oh, well, you're always supposed to have an orgasm, and unfortunately for women, that's not always a thing. And then you get disillusioned into thinking that there's something wrong with you because you don't act like that, and it ruins that mentality that you have and can make you actually hate and loathe your partner because they are not fulfilling the needs to the standard that you think that they should when there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. Everything is in your head.
Speaking on that, I had a partner who I married, and he had not just a couple of DVDs. He had a collection of different pornography DVDs, and I found them stashed in our room. And I disposed of them, being 20 years old, 22, finding a stash of pornography. I was like, oh, heck no. And I threw him out. And he went crazy on me. That was a whole different situation, though, because come to find out, he was using me as a padlock for his closet door. However, he got very angry and flipped his lid on me just out of nowhere. And I should have not touched it and just left. But I didn't know how to handle myself at that age. Did not own a frontal lobe. And so it caused a huge problem.
Well, yeah, he essentially just flushed his drugs down the toilet.
Yeah, because he would watch them all the time. He would throw me out of our room to watch pornography. And lock the door.
That's because he had other issues going on.
Oh, yeah. And then one of my exes would lay in bed next to me and watch porn because he was on a 3-day meth high, couldn't sleep. I was asleep, and I told him from basically like month two after he started waking me up in the middle of the night for sex, and I was having to go into school to do college at like 8 a.m. and he would wake me up probably 3 a.m. and again at like 5 a.m. to have sex. And I kept telling him, you can't do that because I have to sleep. I have to sleep sometime. And so I told him to stop waking me up, and he started turning to porn. To me, it was more disrespectful for somebody to do it laying right next to me even and not have any kind of thoughts behind it. None at all. Just complete selfishness. And that's exactly what it is. It's selfishness. There's really no other way to put it, honestly. So going along with this, should you check out your partner's phone to see what they're doing in order to find out if they are watching pornography or sending not so great messages or photos to somebody that's not their significant other? Is it wrong? Is it right? Should you do it? I know that at one point when I was in a relationship recently, the person and I had each other's lock combination for each other's phone, but I never used it. I didn't feel a need to. If I can't trust you, and if I find out eventually, then I mean, that's it. But what do you think?
Oh, that's a touchy topic. I don't think it's right for you to go behind their back into it, because that's just as shady as them. Well, maybe not as shady, but that's up there shady with them cheating in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you need to know. But here's my deal. If you're in a relationship and you're supposed to be in that relationship and there is 100% equal trust between the two of you, whoever you are with is not going to have any problem with you going into their phone.
Right.
They're just going to hand it to you, unlock it or whatever, hand it to you and be like, yeah, here you go ahead. And don't have any problem or any conniption if you go into any of their apps, because they're not hiding anything, because there's no reason for them to hide anything, because there's nothing to hide.
Right. Both of my major relationships had their phone locked down like 4 different times, had a whole padlock on it, like a locker.
Right. And see, like if you're in a relationship down, like say you're my significant other and I roll up on you and I'm like, hey, I need to look at your phone for a second, and you have a problem giving me your phone, then we're gonna have issues, because I'm gonna immediately think, okay, so what are you hiding?
Right. So should you even have a lock on your phone?
I mean, for today's safety, absolutely you need to have a lock on your phone. Should they be able to open your phone with the passcode? Absolutely. But see, like, I know people in the past who wouldn't let their significant other on their phone. They're now divorced. And there's a reason for that, because they didn't want their significant others being able to get hold of their phone because they were having an affair.
I mean, makes perfect sense to me.
And see, like, that's what my mentality with that is. Like, if your significant other, if you go up and be like, hey, can I see your phone? And they have a problem giving you their phone, there's a conversation that needs to happen right then and there.
Very much. I mean, I have never really had a lock on my phone. I don't ever keep a lock on my phone most of the time. The only reason there's a lock on there right now is because children were getting into it and buying things. So I had to end up putting a lock on my phone.
Well, see, I have a lock on my phone just in case anybody ever rolls up on my phone. It's like, ooh, hey, free phone. And I can shut it down and wipe it or whatever if I need to.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I have never... I've also, at some point, put, like, a face recognition for my significant other on my phone before so they could get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've known my passcode, like you said. And I absolutely have no reason for them not to be able to get into my phone. If it's not the other way around, there's a problem. Now, when I was married to the person who had the porn collection, they would change their phone lock every week so that I could not figure out what the combination was.
Hmm.
Not that I was ever looking in his phone, but he just wanted to make sure. He was very sneaky. He was very sly about everything that he did. He would always keep his phone under his pillow so that you couldn't get to it. And again, I never got into his phone. The only time that I ever saw anything from his phone was when he was laying there looking at an email from somebody and I saw it and I saw what it said. And I confronted him. And after that, he basically locked the phone down. Like, that was back when you could put locks on every app that you owned. But in no world could I say, hey, can I use your phone? And he would allow it. None at all. Now, if he asked to use mine, he was able to use mine. But the other way around, not at all.
See, that would have been a problem for me. Like, not that I need to use your phone, but if you have a problem with me using your phone, then you're hiding something from me. Plain and simple. Period.
He would freak the heck out. We're talking, like, mental breakdown. Freak out. If I said, hey, I don't have a charge on my battery, can I use your phone real quick? He would flip his lid. Just completely lose it. Just, it was interesting. And I knew there was something going on there. I was wise enough at that age to know there's something really wrong here. And then, obviously, that marriage didn't last. So, I don't know. Just, if you're not able to be honest with your significant other, then why are you even in the relationship in the first place is my question.
All right.
Why are you still there? Why are you... that's another topic. Why are you in the relationship still if you're going to be cheating? Why not just leave?
Maybe it gives them some kind of power trip or whatever in their brain because I've got a whole spouse and I'm cheating on them and they have no idea.
I feel like that is it. Like, there has to be something because...
Or they're using you as a beard. Like...
Well, yeah.
Even if it's, that, like, absent-minded, like you've had experience with before.
Well, like I mentioned, I was the padlock on his closet door, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to date women, but who had a little extra downtown.
Mm-hmm.
If that gives any indication of what I am speaking of. He would make me become friends with people that were his quote-unquote friends, but it was actually girls he was seeing behind my back. Daniel did the same thing. Every time.
So, like, shady.
Very shady. They'd be like, oh, I have this friend. You should really get to know them. And I was like, I don't really want to. I don't know them like that. You know them. I don't. But they would insist on it. And then when the cat got let out of the bag, so to speak, that he was cheating, then it was like, oh, well, we're just good friends and you wouldn't do this, blah, blah, blah. And so I went to her. Well, you were planning that from the beginning because there's no reason that I should have had to be friends with her. In general.
Well, here's the problem.
And then all of a sudden you're cheating with her?
Here's the problem with that whole statement. He blamed you for him cheating. He made the active choice to have sex with a whole different human being that he was not married to and blamed you for it.
Yeah, no, nobody will ever take accountability for their cheating. I feel like nobody ever does. Well, you did this, you did that, blah, blah, blah. No, no, I'm sorry.
You decided you just that have you wanted no to go self-control. Have sex with somebody that was not me. So, bye. Right.
And then it comes to the conversation of, well, you wouldn't do this and that. Well, I have the right to tell you yes or no to something that I am not comfortable with.
Right, but you don't have the right to go have an affair after I've said no.
Right, exactly. So, when you and I talk about certain things that we're not comfortable with, I think about previous situations in my life, and it makes me nervous to even think about saying no, because then I'm like, oh, well, are they going to go cheat? Are they going to blame it on me because I said no and then it's my fault because we didn't work out or because you went and cheated?
If they're the right person, there's not going to be a problem.
Well, right. I always have that fear. It's a little bit of, you know, extra trauma.
But see, I've had guys that I've talked to before that knew exactly where I stood on certain issues because I told them, and they were like, okay, that's fine. And then they slowly tried to talk me into it. And I'm like,
yeah, that's not all right.
No.
My first and second husband, not that I'm proud of saying that, but my first and second husband both tried to talk me into doing one thing that I said absolutely not to, and both forced me into it. Like, completely forced me into it. And it was very uncomfortable. It was a very uncomfortable situation. I don't see how somebody can be okay with forcing somebody into doing something that they're not all right with. Like, that would make me feel bad about myself.
See, they don't understand that it's degrading.
Oh, so very degrading.
But then, like, if the tables were turned, they wouldn't necessarily want to do it either.
No. Well, opposite sex, I mean,
they still like, that's still disgusting. So, another question about cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Should cheating be divulged, like past cheating, be divulged at the beginning of a relationship?
Absolutely. Personal opinion? Yes.
I think so, and then I don't at the same time, because, like, what if they have completely changed their tune and they're not going to ever cheat again? Literally, they're never going to cheat again. And you could have a really good relationship, and they're like, oh, BT-dubs, I cheated. And you're like, okay, bye.
Well, not everybody says, well, okay, bye. I've been in a relationship. Yeah.
I would, because from my personal experience, once a cheater, always a cheater.
That's from
I've watched it too. Way too many times. Like, I had my cousin, he was married to a girl, divorced her, married another one that was almost twice his age, and started having an affair with another girl when he decided that he didn't want to be married to the old woman anymore. And I wanted to warn her because I love her to pieces. Like, I still claim her as my cousin, even though he cheated on her. But I didn't. I bit my tongue, and they got married after his divorce finalized. And then, lo and behold, I was right. He cheated on her just like he cheated on his previous wife.
Most of the time, if they're cheating, there's a problem within their self. And so, if they're not completely changing their mindset on why they do the cheating, then they're just going to continue and continue and continue. And they will never feel remorse for it.
And say, my sister, Lord love her, her husband cheated on her. She was pregnant with their child. And he was cheating on her, and she gave birth or whatever, forgave him, took him back, didn't divorce him like she should have, probably. And they ended up getting divorced later on, just recently. because he was not only cheating, but he was cheating with prostitutes and with this woman that he worked with, like using his bonus money from his job and paying for hotels and stuff to go have sex with prostitutes. Like, it was a whole mess. And it was because once a cheater, always a cheater. If he's going to do that one time, he's going to do it for the rest of his life.
I just want to know. I want to know where it's okay in their brains to do that stuff.
They don't follow the same code that we as Christians do. But I mean, Christian men. Then again, even Christians.
Even Christian men and women.
One of my cousins, their wife had an affair with their pastor.
Oh, gosh.
Destroyed two families.
And a whole church.
And, yeah. And, I mean, like, supposed to be this perfectly pious Christian woman, and all of a sudden she's having an affair with a pastor?
Happened in a church that I know of as well. The pastor and his wife divorced, and he was cheating on, well, like, they didn't get divorced first, but he was taking his wife to, like, go here and there, like, on vacations and stuff. And then they started to hire this woman into their home to clean for them while they were gone and take care of the animals. Well, it turned into, well, now she's taking care of the animals while they're away at work and while he's at the church. And then all of a sudden he would come home and his wife would not be there. And so he's having relations with this woman that is their dog sitter and house cleaner. And it completely tore up the family. The family left and moved away once the divorce was final. He married the woman, completely stopped being a pastor. The church had a hard time getting over it, obviously, like a church would. And the family doesn't even speak to their dad anymore. And they're not even going to church at this point that I know of. Like the mom and her kids. So he not only destroyed a family, but he destroyed a lot of the family's faith in God and the church's faith in the pastor for just the one transgression.
You know, I know that David was an adulterer. I know that he had Bathsheba's husband killed so that he could have her for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not make it okay.
Absolutely.
Just because David did it and got forgiven by God does not make it okay.
Well, he went through a lot. He had his child taken away.
Mm-hmm. There were consequences for his actions.
Yeah. Lots of consequences. And he had to deal with not even just him, but his wife. So the lady that he took on as his own, she had to deal with his consequences too.
Mm-hmm.
But cheating is just a whole topic on its own.
And nobody ever stops to think, okay, is this going to be worth ruining my entire family and my life?
No, they don't care. Most of them don't care. I would almost venture to say that most of the people who do that kind of thing are either narcissistic or have narcissistic tendencies because they're only thinking about themselves and not about the consequences of anybody around them.
Mm-hmm. They only think, oh, it feels good now. They don't think, oh, well, I'm going to ruin my entire life.
Right.
For one little brief moment of pleasure.
Well, and a lot of the time it's not just one brief moment. They have a whole separate life outside of their family. How they do that, I have no idea.
I wish I had been more prepared and thought of this story before, but I heard a story several months ago about this man who had literally two families. And his job allowed him to do so because he was working dual cities. So he had, like, a whole wife and a couple of kids in this one town. and he had a whole wife and a couple of kids in another town, and they only found out about each other because he had, like, wifey in his cell phone or something. And had a car accident, and they didn't know which wifey to call, so they called them both, and both of them showed up to the hospital.
Oh, that's bad. Can you imagine finding out that way?
Me and some chicks would be having some brawls, and then my husband probably would not be walking out of that hospital alive, just beat T-dubs.
There's a movie about a guy who's cheating with, like, three different women, and it's the wife and a girlfriend, and I think it's a fiance, and they all three get together, and I think they go on some kind of vacation to go and, like, scope him out and figure out what to do about it. It's a really good movie. I wish I remember the name of it, but it's a good one. They wreak some havoc, that's for sure. They completely ruined his little plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard of men going off and having completely separate lives, and how they afford it, I'll never know. Especially not today. The prices on everything right now is too crazy for me to even think about having a double family.
Well, see, and I think about people that have double lives, and not necessarily just two families, but like the BTK killer.
I've never heard of this. Who is it?
Murder back in like the 80s, 90s, somewhere back there. Perfectly normal man. Like, if you were to meet him, he would go to his daughter's games and stuff, like barbecues at his house. But he was binding, torturing, and killing innocent women, like, in his basement or something. I don't even know where he killed them. But, like, nobody knew until all of a sudden he was in jail. I think there's a documentary on Netflix about it. Absolutely bizarre. But, like, to see the guy, like, he was a perfectly normal, like, car salesman or some lame job like that. Like, very un-murdery sounding job. That just happened very to be a very prolific serial killer.
I don't understand people. I mean, I guess,
like, how shady do you have to be to hide an entire life from somebody? Be you a serial killer or, you know, an adulterer that has two families?
I mean, I'm sure there are several famous people who do it.
Oh, but see, they're rich. They can get away with it.
I was watching a show one time, and I can't remember what it was called. Once again, have no idea. But men would go out and take women with them to these underground parties. And it was well known by even the wives that this happened. It was a status symbol. And they would go out and do all the things and come back and live a normal life. Like nothing ever happened.
That's so weird. It's like swingers. Like, I had friends always telling this story about some dude he worked with and how he got invited to this party, and he and his wife at the time went, and everything was like perfectly normal. They went out on the porch or whatever to get something to drink, and he went back inside to go do something, and all of the people, the lights were out, everybody was butt naked. Having, you know, a swinger party, and he was like, we gotta go.
Oh, no thanks. I know that recently I saw a TikTok where somebody was talking about how they went to a Hollywood party. They were like a higher up in the TikTok/YouTube world, and most of the people in Hollywood are sharing each other's people, like sharing each other's spouses, significant others, all the stuff. Like, they go to parties and boom, orgy. No, thank you.
That's like 75% what's wrong with Hollywood.
Yeah, there's a lot wrong. That was just one of many things that he said was going on there. It was a Christian person who was famous, and he was invited to a Hollywood party, and he was telling all kinds of stuff about what he saw. Very concerning. Very, very, very concerning stuff. But it's even, like, trickled out into our world now, though. I mean, not quite in the Bible Belt areas, I guess.
Yeah, but, like, places like New York City and other super, super big cities. Even possibly right. in Nashville, like, with all the celebrities and stuff from Nashville.
I don't know. I wouldn't think so, but then again, that might be my bias.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going down in country music that's not country music like we used to know. So I found a Reddit talking about pornography and relationship. It's how has pornography impacted your relationships? One person said, I went through a period of time where I saw a few things my boyfriend would look at, especially girls he knows, social media accounts, and it really messed with my head for months and months and continues to on some days. I think porn use is devastating to my relationship and breeds resentment and insecurity in me. I also know that my boyfriend, and many others I'm sure, would flip their lid if they saw me seeking out content of hot men I know in real life. It's just sickening to me. Another person said, we'd moved to a big city, were extremely poor and barely getting by, usually dumpster diving to eat as we were living off of my savings while we were trying to find jobs. I found out after we'd broken up that he had been spending money he hadn't told me about on porn and occasional prostitutes. Disregarding the breaking of my trust, I was almost more pissed about him spending money on porn, considering how much free stuff there is out there. I was with a man who was addicted to porn, and it destroyed my self-confidence, body image, and personality. Nothing in bed was ever good enough for him, and neither was I. I was too fat. He demanded I do exercises to tighten bleaching. I was only allowed to give birth once because babies ruin women's bodies, and it wouldn't be fair to him. He degraded me, humiliated me, and disrespected me in the bedroom. In the end, he stopped having sex with me completely because he couldn't get erect or would go soft during sex. Mm-hmm. He blamed it on me because he couldn't admit to himself that the porn was the issue. It skewed my thoughts on sex and romance, romantic relationships, and still affects me today.
And that right there, I mean, I'm talking identical stuff. Maybe not like bleaching the downstairs, like they have mentioned it before. Daniel has mentioned that, and he had such a skewed version of what sex was supposed to be through porn and what I was supposed to look like that he would completely downgrade me. Even Ben did it to the point where sex to me was not something that I ever wanted again, like ever. It was to think about having sex ever again with anybody made me want to vomit. So the fact that they did that and then I waited like 5 years, I didn't have a good version of what sex was supposed to be. So we can end out this topic here since you don't feel so good. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
You sound so sad. Again. Before our outro here, I'm going to pop in the BEYOUTIFUL Legacy, that's Beautiful Legacy, podcast trailer in by Abigail Gagnon that I've been listening to and highly recommend. All of her info will be in the description below, and you can find her and all of her podcasts in the description below. But until then, we will talk with you later.
Hello, beautiful souls. My name is Abigail Gagnon, and I am the host of the Beautiful Legacy podcast. It can be found on all podcast platforms. We can also be found on Instagram, beautiful_legacy, as well as Threads. I love hosting a podcast. I love being able to talk about all things growth, self-development, mental and chronic illnesses, as well as what kind of legacy we all want to leave. Why do we want to leave it? I have special guests in almost every single episode, and I also share some of my own stories, my own wisdom, And I just love being able to hear from the listeners, hear what they want to hear, be able to talk about all kinds of topics. And it just has been such a fun journey. And I hope that you come along for the ride.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Fairy Fails. If you do enjoy this podcast, please consider following and rating us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. We greatly appreciate it. If you'd like more information on any of our social media platforms, you can head on over to our website at fairyfailspod.com, where you can find links to any of our social medias, fun information about your favorite Fairy Fail hosts, and if you'd like to become a supporter of the podcast, you can do so at our website. It's just $5 a month to support the podcast with that subscription. You will receive bonus content, bloopers, and even a monthly call with your hosts of the show. Once again, we thank you for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.